At a sex party, I feel safe and I love being around naked people. I just want to be with a partner that sees me and respects me, and this way I feel safe. I don't really want to be having sex right now.
Yes, and in that way, this revolutionary movement for sexual liberation is not simply about wanting to have lots of sex. I mean, it can be.
Not talking about sex openly, for me, is one of the main roots of hindering sexual liberation.
Hello and welcome to Cheeksy Chats. We are your hosts, Ameza
and Helen.
And today we're going to talk about sexual liberation.
More specifically, if hookups are the right path to being sexually liberated.
Yes, sexual liberation is still something we strive for today. It doesn't matter if it's female desire or queer desire, masturbation, or just being horny. The public opinion on that still varies.
And one of Cheek's mission statements is, of course, to bring everyone closer to their personal sexual liberation. So feel free to check out the video materials, the audio materials, and the educational aspects of Cheeks with the code CHEEKSYCHATS. And you will find it in the description of this episode. And with the code CHEEKSYCHATS, you can test Cheeks 7 days for free on the website getcheeks.com, getcheeex.com. So we wish you all the best to exploring a bit for yourself on the platform, which might get you more in sync with yourself. And today we kind of want to start off by talking about what sexual liberation, the term, actually means, because it's quite a big term. And liberation in general kind of always stands for freeing yourself of oppressive natures or structures and finding a way or a form of life or adjusting structures so that they no longer oppress. And there is a lot of shaming, especially, and stigmatizing when it comes to sexuality. So it doesn't necessarily always seem like an oppressive structure in some ways, and in other ways it very clearly does. If we talk about things like trans rights or gay marriage or abortion rights, but on other things like what is your body count, etc., there's not like a clear governmental shaming, but generally it is kind of seen in societies that governments do try to kind of guide its sexuality to being kind of a taboo subject.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really talk about it that much in public or only in certain spaces. And that means that it kind of shows that people realize that if people would be more open or safe in their sexuality and with their desires, that it could kind of open up the ground for a new way of life. And people are often fearful of this, and so to kind of try to hold it back and control this liberation by kind of shaming. For instance, slut shaming is one big form of keeping people from being sexually liberated, or other types of violence or legal oppression to impose a sexual order.
Yes, and in that way, this revolutionary movement for sexual liberation is not simply about wanting to have lots of sex. I mean, it can be. But it's rather about finding ways for self-determination, fulfillment, bodily autonomy, emancipation. And it's fighting for a sexual life that is not exclusively tied to reproduction or like to have reproductive sex and have a sexual life independent from marriage. And yes.
So the revolution kind of is going away from this more conservative view,
mm-hmm,
and kind of works towards having more knowledge a lot too, to kind of understand your body and its functions.
It's a lot about education too, right?
And how you attain pleasure the best way for yourself, and kind of to rebrand sexuality as something that's not shameful, but as a positive thing and something that's fun and is something everyone has and is totally normal.
Yes, and also a part of fulfillment that maybe not having or having sex is part of your identity and part of a richer life in a way.
For sure. And kind of there's been historically like a lot of movements or different pathways to kind of work towards sexual liberation, which in the 70s, for instance, stand from radical feminists who want to be, who wanted to work towards more issues around sexuality in a patriarchal society. But there's a bunch of different things. For instance, hippies.
Yeah, that's the one that most people think about, like the free love movement mm-hmm. after the Vietnam War or like during the Vietnam War. A lot of them have been driven by societal or medical advancements. For example, after the French Revolution, there was a bunch of communes with like philosophies advocating free love, just like with the hippie movement. Also in France, there was the decadent movement in the late 19th century, or the gay 90s, the roaring 20s, the sexual revolution, like the hippie. And more recently, the Me Too movement, of course, as well. So these movements of sexual liberation came upon society like a series of waves, and all of them like reached the mainstream and then went away again. But as we can see, it's like a continuous process and like a repeated effort.
Yeah, I think as it is with many things, there's like an idea or a concept. And I think there's also a discussion how helpful which movement was and who it considered in its movement and who wasn't thought about or spoken
totally.
For.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of like a movement forward. But as with a lot of things, there's oftentimes then a very conservative backlash, pushing it back and causing it to kind of reform and test another way. And this is, yeah, a lot what the term liberation is also about, right? Kind of seeing, okay, there is a lot of methods in which society or certain parts of society are trying to limit your sexuality to only conservative concepts of marriage, etc., and to kind of see how to liberate and how to overcome. And yeah, this is kind of in the current discussions, there's a lot of different pathways and also different arguments. Also in the feminist movement, there's also swerve feminists who believe that sex work isn't a part of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what we want to specifically look at today is kind of hookup culture and what this does, also for what it has brought to us individually. And if we think that this is kind of helpful and or necessary, or what hooking up actually means in the grand scheme of liberating yourself sexually.
Yes, because many people are of the opinion that maybe the hookup culture, as some would describe it, that we find ourselves today is a hindrance for sexual liberation or the exact opposite. But because you mentioned swerve, I also wanted to mention that especially feminist and queer movements largely drove these like sexual liberation movements. So especially to advance like legal questions or like questions on a legal level. And an example for that for me always was like the LGBT movement during the AIDS crisis, because usually also today, much of our political movements are very like sanitized, not very sexual, or you're not talking about sex, like even with the gay movement today. And back then with the AIDS crisis, sex was so in focus. So the movement also really engaged with it, or like it was a central theme. And in that way, different sexual liberation movements also inspire each other.
For sure. And I think there's also, yeah, different, very different ones. For instance, like reproductive rights are, of course, also one for sexual liberation, or trans rights. But also, I think, yeah, there's different kind of ways. And I think one is kind of like a big political movement, but sexual liberation can also be something super personal. Or individual, as well as being kind of a movement on a larger scale to overcome shame, kind of can also start with you finding what brings you pleasure and understanding where you stand in all of this and what brings you joy or what perspectives you agree with and which ones you don't. And I think it is complicated because there's a lot of opinions on sex and little education on sex while growing up, especially. I really hope this adjusts or gets better. But yeah, this is one of the things. And there's also, as we mentioned before, always backlash to everything. For instance, the hookup culture is discussed as kind of bringing positive effects and giving people spaces to explore themselves. For instance, cruising.
Yeah, or sex parties.
Sex parties, dark rooms where you can kind of just focus on sexual aspects and not necessarily parted from emotional aspects or anything, but that it's kind of what you're there for. And for instance, this is interesting to me because these spaces are, especially cruising is something often done in queer culture and something where you kind of find your sexuality outside of the very heteronormative realm and kind of have your space to explore, which I think is a super interesting and sweet space to kind of explore. But on the other hand, there's always like arguments. For instance, this author, Lala, let me explain, argues that since sex has become easier to get, love has become harder to find. Which I personally would disagree with. I don't think people who cruise or go to sex parties necessarily find it more difficult to love.
Not necessarily. But I also think that the author not just spoke about like sex parties or cruising, but in general, like hookup cultures also, because it's from the book Block, Delete, Move On. So it's also, I think, a lot about like dating apps and maybe how we consume each other. I'm still not sure if I agree completely with the quote. Like, no, I'm sure I don't. I think it's just in a way today we're more, I guess, spoiled for choice, or we just see all the options. And that's why maybe it can be confusing through all the mess. But I don't think it's necessarily harder to find.
I think I understand kind of the sentiment of there's so much choice and there's so many apps and there's always this notion of, but maybe there's someone else out there. But at the same time, I find this notion of all of a sudden no one can have a relationship anymore. And in the older generations, it always worked. Yeah, it always worked because people were forced into marriage because women couldn't work and were kind of forced to stay with their husband or earned a lot less so they couldn't leave their husbands in a very heteronormative culture. And queer people weren't allowed to marry, so they also kind of just had to
accept what cards they've been dealt with. Yeah.
Yeah, or marry.
Yeah.
So
exactly,
I think that this kind of overlooks this aspect, and I think it's the one thing doesn't necessarily
exclude the other.
Yeah.
But I think it's still interesting as a quote because I feel like it mirrors many things that I've heard, like especially dating in Berlin, perhaps, that many people are just out to have casual sex here and nobody wants to, like, I don't want to say legitimate, but like a two-partner scenario. But I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I do understand that, yeah, in Berlin dating can be difficult, but I also wonder if, I don't know, for instance, I date on hookup apps. To hook up, but I also have friends who very clearly would never go on these apps because it's not what they want in their life or look for in their life, and they use different apps or different ways of meeting people and have monogamous relationships. So I do wonder, I see the Berlin aspect, and I see that there's also a lot of, yeah, party culture here, etc., 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 but I do think there are the one thing doesn't mean that people are incapable of having a relationship. Maybe they just don't want to, which is also fine.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, it's also a way of quickly determining, okay, we search for different things.
Yeah.
I'm going to look elsewhere. And I think it's interesting because, for instance, Grindr is an app that's very known for being very focused on hooking up.
Yeah.
But I've had a couple of friends, or like many friends, that found their partners through that, and like long-term relationship partners.
I've heard that also that people have found partners through field, which is also known to be quite sex positive. And I think this is interesting because it kind of flips around the way it is usually, you're usually told to date, like you wait till you have sex and you get to know each other. And this kind of centralizes sex, or that you kind of know what the other person's desires are, and you know if you are attracted to them and how the sex feels and what their boundaries are and how they go about consent and how open they are about things. And I think that this can also help kind of approaching it from this angle. If sex is something that is very important to you, or certain kinks are important to you, or this is kind of what you're looking for in a partner, that this is matched, or that you have kind of a similar philosophy on these things. So yeah, I don't think it is impossible to find the love of your life on a hookup app.
Yeah.
But I also find it completely fine to not look for them on it. And I think that doesn't mean that you're not capable of having a relationship. I just think that this pushing people into having a relationship is not, because then if you're single, you're less worthy, or you're making less great memories or something, is kind of being rethought a lot. And also like choice families and what friendships mean.
Choice families. I thought you were going for choice feminism.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, chosen families. Oh, it's been a long day. Yeah. To kind of reevaluate what standing relationships have on your life, or monogamous relationships have on your life.
Yeah, but I guess I'm like split on the issue, because I know that it's hard for many people to find something, but I also think that it's always been hard to find like genuine connections or like romance. Yeah.
And I also don't know kind of what it means in regards to sexual liberation. Like, yeah, if it means that you are only, because the more conservative concept, I guess, is kind of this, you find your perfect match and you make love and you have children. And hookup culture is then, I guess, the opposition to it, and if you construct it as such. But for me, I wouldn't argue that either side is more sexually liberating by definition. You know, I don't know if you are more sexually liberated if you're going to dark rooms, or if you're in your monogamous relationship for 20
years. No, I don't think so either. Yeah. I think what's also interesting about the author, like Lala, Let Me Explain, is that she argued that sexual liberation is a great concept in of itself, but the way that we approach it right now is that we ended up in the model of sex that has been created by men.
So kind of this hookup culture.
Yeah.
That a lot of sex is kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that it's maybe just physical. And I guess, I think what I read also is that many people think that many women have adopted this male sexuality, which also already sounds a bit like weird to me, but just like the body count, and like getting a high body count is the way of liberating yourself. And in that way, you're not liberating yourself, but serving the patriarchal system, maybe.
Kind of like emulating male behavior. But this I also find interesting, because I think...
The girl boss way.
I think in sexual liberation, to me, without having the men... Or no, the assumption of the statement is kind of that men don't have emotional sex or love to have a lot of hookups.
Yes.
And to me, that's kind of a very dangerous statement, because I think that men also suffer under this concept that they need to always perform and need to have a lot of hookups. And I do understand that there's kind of these like toxic bro groups, or like incels who kind of promote this very misogynistic lifestyle. And I do think that men are educated in a way where they kind of objectify women a lot, but I don't think...
Socialized, yeah.
Yeah, socialized. But I don't think it is a necessarily inherently male trait.
Yes.
Because it also... This quote also for me is a very cis-hetero statement.
I was about to say that. It's like very heteronormative because hookup culture is not just about like girl-boy.
For sure.
Yeah.
At all. So for me, the statement is kind of like, what does it even mean? I mean, I understand that like pop culture always shows like these James Bond type men who are like hooking up with all these women and are heroes. And assuming that women naturally don't want this and are only doing this to kind of show that they can do it too. I don't know. I think maybe liberation is kind of, yeah, I think personal liberation is difficult because it's kind of like seeing that all these structures and all of the socialization and all of these narratives exist and kind of dismantling them for yourself and figuring out what it means for you. So like, yes, men, cis-hetero men probably do try to get a high body count occasionally or are very like braggy about their performances in the bedroom. But does that mean that women can't be, you know?
I mean, part of sexual liberation can be being curious or being wanting to have lots of different experiences, right? So that's not inherently a bad thing, I feel like. But many of the discourse about this recent shift away from sex positivity is about like heteronormative sex and like how women get the shorter end of the stick in a way, which I found very interesting. Like, as an outsider, I guess.
Like, what are the heads up to today?
Yes, exactly. Because what I've read, like many of the experiences were that many people don't want to seem prude or anti-sex or not sex positive. So they agree to sexual acts that they are not interested in or that they're uncomfortable with. Yeah, but in the same way, I've read that it's also both-sided, that also some men, like, of course, watch porn and, like, learn by porn and then they choke during sex, but they actually don't like it either. So it's, like, this weird situation.
Didn't we also have the study in our anal episode where it was, like, all of these men think they need to like anal and think the woman doesn't need to like anal for them to have anal sex. And I was like, what is going on? And I think that is kind of, shows kind of the core of the problem of not talking about sex openly, which for me is, I think, one of the main roots of hindering sexual liberation. So kind of making sex educational content growing up that is only heteronormative, or for instance, we were recently deleted again on certain social media platforms because of, sex positive or sex educational content, and kind of hindering this to come out or become more mainstream, or helping people kind of understand what they like or don't like and how to set boundaries, and that setting boundaries is a big part of sexual liberation for me.
Totally.
And not learning these skills, hindering that is like a big part of stopping sexual liberation. And that kind of just demotivates me because I don't... So when I was young... we talked about this before.
Flashback.
Yeah. I had very negative first sexual experiences and then had a while where I also was like, I just need to be normal. I also need to hook up with a lot of people and just wanted to like it and like sex. And I wasn't. Yeah, and I was also, oftentimes in situations where I was drinking alcohol or something, and I was like, yeah, I need to do this. Everyone's doing this and everyone's having a good time, but I'm not having a good time. Occasionally I was having a good time when I had also an emotional connection to someone, and then it kind of shifted for me because when I then moved out, I also had a couple of hookup dates, but I usually kind of built a roster. and kept yeah, the same people that I felt comfortable with, felt comfortable to set boundaries with, felt comfortable to test things out, was very secure in saying no. But in this also kind of grew a fear of dating new people.
To going outside.
Yeah, to going outside the roster for a long, long time, years, actually. And then I think like a year ago, I was like, okay, I will try it in kind of over an app that is there to hook up, but has very set, very clear standards, or where it's clear that everyone's kind of communicative, and went on a bunch of hookup dates. And it was crazy to me because I had also gone to sex therapy, et cetera, et cetera. And my sex therapy was also guiding this whole process, how liberating it was for me to be able to have sex with, yeah, random people, one night stands, and to enjoy it and to set boundaries and to say no, but also to say yes or ask for more or discuss desires and wishes, and also discuss my past, not in a 30-minute sob story, but kind of like, okay, this is what I'm at, these are my struggles, and to have people be very in touch with that and, yeah, in this kind of more sex-positive bubble and also more kinky bubble.
And yeah, and it also really, letting you be part, like, more in touch, be more in touch with that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And this really, so for me, I would say that hookups have both brought me away from sexual liberation when I was just doing it to fit in, but also have made me now the most liberated I have been yet.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting thing about the discourse, is that I think a general no to hookups doesn't make sense, because of course there's a wrong way to do it, just to like do whatever, whenever, against your will or not really consenting. But the way you described your journey, I mean, it can be very affirming, or like it is really a journey to sexual liberation. And I mean, it doesn't have to be the straight path. You can wobble around, go back, go forth, or like decide, hey, maybe this isn't for me, and then decide later, okay, maybe it is.
Yeah. For sure, because I also wouldn't argue that now I have to be part of hookup culture for the rest of my life to stay liberated. I think for me, liberation kind of came with reclaiming my own sexuality and my own desires after they had been taken from me violently, and to just figure out what I want and to have fun with it in a nice space. But it doesn't mean that I will have to go to sex parties or do all of this for my whole life. Maybe I will be one of those people who will have open relationships, but maybe I also won't. But I don't think it's like a prerequisite to say, like, yeah, it always has to be hookups in order to be sexual liberation. But I do think that they helped me reach a point of security in this particular form.
Yeah, but that's, I really love hearing that, because it's like showing that it's an intentional process. It is a process, and it's like a learning that you get from it, or that you get the learning from doing it with intention.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead of just like doing whatever, because many of the things that I've read have just been like this, I'll do whatever and nothing happens. Everything's bad. But of course, of course, it's not the best then.
Yeah. Always when crossing boundaries, that is not liberating. It is just stressful.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Not fun. And I also think, as much as hookups have been a part of my sexual liberation, so has celibacy. Because for instance, I've also had like, I don't know, at the beginning of, beginning of this year, I did like a 6-month sex break. Not necessarily that I was like, I will not have sex for 6 months, but I was just like, I kind of just have other priorities, and just having sex with myself was fine, and spending that time with only myself also was super liberating, to not feel like you need to be validated or you need to be having sex. So I think there's, for me, different sides to the coin.
Yeah, and different needs at different times. I mean, it can be difficult, I believe, or like I know, because sometimes there is this like perceived pressure from the outside that you're young, you're free, you need to have sex and you need to be like a cool bitch who just gets with anyone and doesn't feel anything. But there's also lots of power in just being like, okay, but no, at the moment I'm fine with being myself, or like just being by myself in a way. I really like, or like I find it interesting, the opinion from like activist and writer Laurie Penny on that, that basically the sex positive label is a bit outdated in nowadays culture. I think they also call for like more of like modernization of sex culture at this moment, because while the constraints of old sexual behavior is gone, like the threat of male violence still endures. Mm-hmm. And this makes it all a bit like a half-finished revolution. And Lala argues, and the argument is that there needs to be a cultural shift in men's attitude as well. So also education, and basically it being a more intentional process. So that sex positive feminism is the foundation, and that there's like now a space to have a voice, but the men also need to get with it.
For sure. But I think this is, it is a patriarchal world, and yeah, we're all living in it, and we all are in different positions towards it. And men, especially white cishet men, obviously are benefiting it from it the most, also suffering it from it, of course, but also benefiting. And I do think that, yeah, movements cannot work if the people who are benefiting don't also make a change, or if we don't all recognize that we are all suffering more than we should because of this system. And I also haven't met a single hetero male who isn't insecure about their sex life.
Yeah, same.
And that makes me so sad, yeah, because I'm like, okay, so what are we all doing this for? But it makes me also a bit annoyed that they then don't talk to their friends about it. Or I would wish for them to kind of also free themselves of shame, because queer people and women have done a lot of work towards this. And I feel like now it's also their turn to talk to their friends, and not only to their girlfriends, and to kind of make steps and strides and
yeah,
be insecure and be open and explain that they only want to have vanilla sex and don't need to be kinky. And that's all fine if that's what they want. And I think, yeah, as I mentioned before, dismantling what you see around you and figuring out what you actually want is an exhausting process. It takes a lot of energy, but it is rewarding. And I really hope for men that they do this, because they are usually the perpetrators of violence that often also comes from them not reflecting on themselves.
Yeah. But I think it's crazy how often you see that this cultural divide is like giant, that, I mean, women, queer people, or marginalized groups in general have been like generations ahead in this discourse, or like in this internal process always, or like also in this communal collective process as well. I don't know if it's because, like, obviously, if you are discriminated or oppressed for sexuality, for existing, you have to engage with that. You have to like fight for that. Like, resistance is your everyday. And many other groups don't think about that, and they just exist and hurt.
I think there's like this inherent difference, right? Because the shame is kind of different. I mean, historically, women and queer people have always been shamed, like the witches and the mermaids.
Yeah, this
and they're too naked and sexual. Also, yeah, all these mythology. Thank you. Aspects. Yeah. whereas this image of, yeah, a strong man who is always ready to go is the other side of that. And while it is exhausting, there have not been physical consequences necessarily. I mean, no one has been burnt to death like the witches have.
Burned at the stake, yeah.
Yeah, burned at the stake for not having slept with as many women. So I think there's just a difference to how extreme historically the expectation levels have been and the shaming has been.
Yeah.
And the oppression has been.
Yeah, I mean, it's also because men are trained to be the sexual initiator and also sometimes even the aggressor. And women who go like outside their pre-drawn lines, like you said, get like mythologized or like become the monster, but also pathologized because like there've been many like diagnoses that were based on like sexual derivative behavior, I guess. For me, hooking up, I liked hearing your experience because obviously you have like many tools on how to get to sexual liberation. I mean, obviously it's a process. It's not that you like get to the goal and then it's done. But I think oftentimes like hookups is the only tool, like the hammer that you need to, to get it done with. But for me personally, it hasn't been like a very successful thing or like a very liberating feeling because I often feel like that random hookups, they've been nice, but they didn't really do much for me. Like, I guess it's the lack of intention in that, but they're, but I'm still in the same space, I felt. Yeah.
But I do find it interesting because I think that assuming that everyone desires just sexual connections isn't true. I mean, I also prefer it if I have an emotional connection to the person, but I can also have sex and have fun without having an emotional connection to the person. But I also completely understand if people are like, to me, it's just a bit exhausting and not that fun. And if it's more interesting for you to kind of discover your desires with someone you have feelings for, and that that is kind of your path to liberating yourself and to figuring it out, and then it also becomes more of like a, I guess, community aspect because you're doing it with someone together.
Yeah, but I think in any case there needs to be something internal, because for me just hooking up seems like you're almost outsourcing the problem, that you're like, here, I give this to you. And yeah, you get attention, but maybe there's still something missing. I mean, that's the case for me, I guess.
That you don't feel like, you're like, ah, yay, I got attention, but then you're like, okay, and what now?
I mean, most of the time, I don't even want the attention. Like, it, oftentimes I feel like someone else wanting to hook up with me, like if it's a complete stranger that has nothing to do with me in a way. So it can't really like set me free or help me with my sexuality, because it's not about me. It's like maybe what I represent or what that person is projecting on me.
Yeah, but I guess for you, it also comes in with not being white and being queer, that you also have a lot of, a very different hooker experience than me. Yeah.
And there's also like lots of like holding back or like, I mean, care or like, oh my God, I need to be careful because like, what if, and oftentimes it has been the case where like somebody is like, oh, but I have like very clear projections on you at the moment. And I'm like the exact opposite of liberated by that. Of course. Yeah.
For sure. But then I also understand that for you, hooking up isn't necessarily a context in which you feel liberated. You just feel more fetishized and are like, okay, I want someone who's genuine, and with this person, this is kind of more my path to figure out what liberates me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting that hookups are so important, like in the general consensus for sexual liberation. It's probably because like sex is also power in a way. But for me, that power is not mine in a way. It's like for other people. And I think in a very patriarchal understanding, getting this affirmation from other people should give me power, but it does not. Because nothing that I did for that. Which sounds weird.
Yeah, but I understand. Yeah. And I think, as we mentioned before, that there is not a correct way to find sexual liberation. It kind of is just about yeah, dismantling what you think you're supposed to be doing. Because as people think they're supposed to be hooking up with everyone, other people believe they should now be in a more traditional role and go on this other side into this whole treadwife thing. And I think that, yeah, kind of seeing like all that is happening around you and figuring out, ah, okay, at a sex party, I feel safe and I love being around naked people and this is great. Or being like, I just want to be with a partner that sees me and respects me and this way I feel safe. Or saying, I don't really want to be having sex right now, so I will not succumb to this pressure of always needing someone to kind of, yeah, be involved with, can also be liberating to kind of, yeah, figure out what your focus is and what your pathway is. And through this, feeling more liberated and also gaining energy, because I think kind of finding what liberates you can be exhausting, because you're also very unsure because of kind of the lack of resources that are there to guide you. But I think if there's one point to really make in this podcast today, it's that it's super individual and it's for you to kind of find out without feeling ashamed. Because yeah, if you want to go to dark rooms every day of the week and you're embarrassed, don't be.
Yeah. And I think it's also in general a step-by-step thing, because I feel like I need to understand myself and have a like relationship to myself, my body, and knowledge of what I actually want before I can even do the other things. Like, I can't give the other person this responsibility of like, hey, help me there. I mean, a bit, but like not completely, right?
I did this, yeah, when I had this initial hookup phase after my bad experience. I was just like, just do it for me, like just fix it for me without, because it's so exhausting to work on these type of experiences. And now when I feel like I don't have anything to fix, it feels, yeah, easier, where I'm not like, help me, but I'm like, okay, these are my fantasies, these are my desires. And also to learn that fantasies can be separate from things you actually want to happen to you physically, and to explore yourself on your own time. Or also, yeah, to not, I mean, I'm a big believer in doing this, but if people are like, I don't want this kind of moments with myself and I do want to outsource it and that makes me feel better, then so be it. I really, yeah, I don't know if there is a right way, but I do understand that kind of knowing yourself and your body and spending time with it also. Yeah, what I have a big problem with right now is breathing correctly, to kind of this whole breath work thing, or what does correctly mean, but to enhance pleasure, so to speak. I kind of don't do what your body is aiming for.
Breathing.
Yeah, I kind of breathe into my chest and not through my body. So I kind of don't have, yeah. So things like this, I think, yeah, educating yourself can also help you feel more liberated. And also,
Or
trying things.
Yeah, again, going in with intention.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, of course, hookups can help you with finding a more deep connection to your body, but you need to do it with intention, or like you need to,
for sure, because they also can be very ungender affirming. I don't know what if you're struggling with that,
that somebody does not see you in a way that
you would like to be seen. You see yourself, and that can also cause more issues. So yeah, I think there is no straight path, but what I would recommend is to kind of figure out yours and to speak to people about it and to kind of lose shame, I think, is a big part
and
of that's, becoming more sexually liberated. Because realizing you're not alone can really help you to feel more secure and to find out how other people are doing it, or what different options there are to test things out, or to not test things out if you don't want things. And yeah, I recommend this to everyone. And yeah, also really, especially men who've really been taught to not speak about it, or only in like a joking way, to kind of sit down with their friends and have a discussion about sex.
Yeah, and to realize that sexual liberation is a whole plethora of things. It's like reclamation of sexual pleasure, claiming control, power, bodily autonomy, and this is not just through sex, maybe. Maybe it is, but it can also be through like therapy, speaking to friends or like whomever. I like also going to like sex parties, and you don't even need to have sex, but like how you mentioned before, like this dismantling of shame, or like just being in a very open space can be such a great gift for that. And I think there are many ways on how to find your own sexual liberation, or like guide yourself on this journey. So try things out. Similar to what you said about on apps where it's more transparent about sex, I found it really interesting that at sex parties, I've had much greater or like much more fun experiences at like many regular parties, because like if you hit on there, I feel like the communication is much more open. You know what you're getting into. And I feel like the people are also more understanding in that space.
I think so too. I think it has to do with that sex parties or naked parties or kink parties are often very aware of themselves, and BDSM as a scene is generally very, very consent-based and kind of has invented a whole different bunch of systems. And therefore, yeah, if someone touches you or wants to hook up with you, they ask very specific questions. And that, I think, is, yeah, very important and interesting about these parties, that whereas when you're hit on in a normal club and you're like, no, they're like annoyed or sometimes try to convince you.
Yeah. And in my experience, it was, a much more liberating experience on both sides. Like if you say yes, if you say no, the other person isn't like persistent or annoyed or aggressive. They just know there are a bunch of other options here at this party, at this sex party for this purpose. And you can keep on dancing.
Yeah. And it's a very respectful way and non-shameful way in which this is talked about, saying yes and saying no, that you, because you're not necessarily shaming the other person for asking you to hook up, you're just not interested, which they sometimes also take as such, which is very healthy.
I mean, and sometimes you're just like, not right now, in 5 minutes or something like that. But many people are very surprised by that, I feel like, if you say like sex parties are chill.
Yeah, they kind of assume that you go there, have to have sex all night,
etc. You have to.
Yeah, which isn't the case at all.
Yeah, you're like dragged into the orgy mosh pit.
Yeah.
And it just never stops.
Which, it's really not the case.
Don't worry.
No. You don't do anything there that you don't want to be doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ideally, of course, things can also happen.
Yeah.
But the space generally,
there's more awareness in that
there's
space.
There's more awareness in the space. And oftentimes also an awareness team, etc., to kind of overview situations.
Go to sex parties.
If you are interested.
If you're interested.
If you're not and you're interested in more,
if it's part of your journey.
If it's part of your journey. But I also think, if we see the sex parties as kind of more the Grindr dating app, and I don't know, Hinge as kind of more
the unsolicited dick pics, like Pandora.
If you're more on the like side of I'm looking for a relationship, that it's also fine to.
Yeah, but I've also known like married people who met
at sex parties. So, because this also falls into this pattern again. You kind of have a similar approach to things.
Love is in the air, you guys.
Yeah, having a lot of sex doesn't make us more unemotionally available necessarily. Woo!
And neither does like not having sex.
Woo! Yeah. And I think that's kind of a nice place to conclude what we have visited today. So we talked about what sexual liberation actually means and why it is difficult and oftentimes not or in movements, it is kind of oppressed and it is worth fighting for. And we spoke about how you can, on an individual level, that there's different paths and kind of figuring it out, but also movement-wide. I think it's important to recognize that it is important to fight for, yeah, liberating and each other and each other's bodies and each other's space and freedom for reproductive rights, trans rights, gay marriage rights, yeah. LGBTQ rights in general.
Yeah, it's also taking away the baggage placed by religion, patriarchy, or your own trauma. And it's also normalizing the other sides of the spectrum, of course, like asexuality or not wanting to have sex, engage with that.
Yeah, and to also, when you're asexual, be out, be able to be out about it and just to be like, I don't want it, and not having to explain constantly why, or having been told that there's something wrong with you. So I think that that is also not shaming and relieving yourself of shame and speaking openly is, I think, the biggest way to sexual liberation, and the path you take there can be very, on the one side, individual, but also part of movements and in line with work that many people have done before you, especially queer and Black people.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you so much for listening to us today. As mentioned before, there's also a code for 7-day trial of Cheeks, Cheeksy Chats, in the description below. And Cheeks kind of aims to help you on a both educational side, where you can figure out different, yeah, orientations and explorations that you can kind of see what you enjoy and how to go about that, or how to test out new things. And also has more explicit videos and audios that show a whole range of different sexual preferences, where you can kind of figure out for yourself if this is something you're interested in or not. So yeah, we recommend you checking it out if you're interested. Code is in the description, and yeah,
check it out.
See you soon.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.